Good afternoon. My name is Susan Muirhead, and today I'll be reading part one of the News Gazette, dated for this date, Tuesday, January 28th, 2020. Let's begin with some of our headlines for today. The first headline reads, first report, man targets champagne store in suit. Long hair, painted nails, has always been me. This article is written by Ben Sigderman, and is based out of Champaign. A former Target employee is suing the company, alleging he was harassed by co-workers for not conforming to traditional gender stereotypes and ultimately fired. Santiago Calle, that's C-A-L-L-E, 19, started working in September 2017 as a barista in the Starbucks at Target's Champaign store, in part because it has been a proponent of inclusivity. In 2016, it said transgender employees and guests were welcome to use whichever bathroom corresponds with their gender identity. I had enjoyed working there at first, for the first few months. The reason I had started working there is because they have claimed to be about acceptance and things like that, Calle said. After a few months, I started to realize that a lot of the employees and the management weren't so accepting. In a lawsuit filed last month, Calle is accusing Target of violating Title VII of the Civil Rights Act, which protects employees from discrimination on the basis of race, color, religion, sex, or national origin. It's discrimination based upon gender and based upon the fact that he's of a perceived as class, said his lawyer, Urbana attorney Ron Langacker. If you don't quite fit into what people would perceive as something that's acceptable, that's when you start to see discrimination occur. And that's something that the law in Title VII tries to prevent. Calle said he doesn't always conform to stereotypical male standards. I've always enjoyed having long hair, and just the way I present myself is not very male-like, but this has always been me, Calle told the News Gazette. Me having long hair and painting my nails doesn't prevent me from doing my job correctly. It's just the way that I choose to look. Because of this, Calle said his co-workers perceived him as being homosexual and used homophobic slurs toward him. Calle also alleges his supervisor required him to perform tasks outside his job description that were considered to be masculine in nature, such as lifting heavy products and retrieving carts. After Calle said he raised the alleged harassment with management, his suit alleges he was given a last-chance agreement in October 2018 for allegedly creating too much drama, quote-unquote. 2 months later, Calle was terminated, allegedly due to a customer complaint, according to the suit, though Calle said he never got to see a copy of the comment card. He tried to address the situation with the employer, and not only did they not ever address the situation, but they retaliated against him by giving him what was, in its essence, a last-chance agreement, and then terminating him for reasons that are dubious at best, Langacker said. In a statement provided by spokeswoman Danielle Schumann, Target said Calle's claims are unfounded. Target has a long-standing commitment to building diverse teams and creating a work environment where all differences are valued. We don't tolerate discrimination of any kind, and after a thorough investigation, found no evidence to support these claims, the statement said. As we've shared with Santiago, the termination decision was for performance reasons completely unrelated to these claims. Calle defended his work performance. Most customers liked me. I'm very sociable, and that's why I enjoyed working there, because I enjoyed all the people, the customers, and a lot of the people that I worked with, he said. After being fired, Calle filed a complaint with the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, which issued him a right to sue notice in October. Since he was terminated, Calle said he's found a new job he enjoys at another coffee shop. I see a lot of people from Target, like customers, and they're always like, oh my gosh, how have you been? And things like that, Calle said. Calle said people his age have been more accepting of him than older adults. A lot of people my age are more accepting, he said, but no matter what age, you're able to educate yourself on what's right and wrong. And people know what's right and what wrong is. And in the paper, there's a picture of Santiago Calle, which is taken by Robin Schultz for the News Gazette. And it's a picture of him. He's in a room, I believe, talking to a lawyer because there's a lot of, it's like a law library, a lot of books behind him. And he does have long black hair, large black glasses, and his hands are up and as he's talking, and he does have like black nail polish on his nails. So definitely a distinct look. But that's a great picture. And on the front page, there's a picture of Santiago Calle and his attorney. So you see the caption underneath that is, former Target employee Santiago Calle Wright listens as his attorney, Ronald Langacker, that's L-A-N-G-A-C-K-E-R, talks at Langacker's office in Urbana. And so there's a picture of them together discussing his case. The next headline reads, coronavirus outbreak. Masks in demand as concern grows. UVI students with connections to Wuhan have been notified. That's W-U-H-A-N. This article is written by Deborah Pressy and is based out of Champaign. At least one local grocery serving the Asian community has run out of facial masks as fears continue to escalate about the potentially deadly coronavirus. Not only are many customers wearing surgical masks to shop at Fresh International Market, Champaign employees are wearing them too. And the store's assistant manager, the store's assistant manager, Kevin Zhang. Since we have more traffic, mostly Asian people coming, they get a high chance to get the virus in people, he said. On Sunday, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention announced two more U.S. cases of respiratory illness related to the novel coronavirus, both related to recent travel to Wuhan, China, where the virus has been spreading. The new latest cases in Arizona and California boosted the number of infections with this coronavirus strain in the U.S. to 5. Compared to larger groceries, Fresh International Market has a higher percentage of Asian customers along the lines of 70%, Zhang said. The store sold out of both kinds of facial masks it carries and is hoping to have more in stock by midweek, he said. Both Champaign Ace Hardware stores owned by Neiman Foods, the chain that owns local County Market and Harvest Market groceries, have been selling a lot of surgical masks, especially since University of Illinois students came back from winter break, according to the company's Director of Consumer Affairs, Jerry Kettler. They can't keep them in stock, and I think they've had to reorder a couple of times, he said. The chain's County Market store in the UI campus area has also seen more customers, primarily international students, shopping in surgical masks, Kettler said. A local public health official said there's no current recommendation for the general public to wear facial masks out in public as a preventative measure for the Wuhan coronavirus. We are not giving any recommendation right now unless they are especially people who have traveled back from China, said Champaign-Urbana Public Health District Deputy Administrator Awais Vaid. UI students from Wuhan, China, have been notified about the coronavirus symptoms they should be on the lookout for, Vaid said. We know there are no symptomatic individuals right now in this community, he said. The U of I contacted students with a known connection to Wuhan City on January 24th, according to U of I McKinley Health Center Director Dr. Robert Parker. All students coming to the health center with respiratory symptoms are being masked at the door and told about how to keep themselves healthy, he said in an updated email to the campus community on Monday. Coronaviruses are generally spread by droplet contact, Parker said in the email. This commonly means that you must be within 6 feet of an infected person who is coughing and sneezing, or via close personal contact, such as touching or shaking hands, or touching an object or surface with the virus on it, then touching your mouth, nose, or eyes before washing your hands. Most U of I students have been back on campus for at least 7 days, he said. In that time, we have had one person with possible symptoms, but it was determined that the person did not have the illness, Parker said. We are hopeful and taking great strides to keep our campus safe. And on the front page of the paper, in connection to this article, is a picture of a young male Asian student with a surgical mask around his mouth, and he's got his winter coat on and a backpack, and he's walking in downtown campus, I believe. Underneath it says, a masked pedestrian waits to cross Green Street in Urbana on Monday. Today on campus, local health officials will address the community response to coronavirus concerns at 9 a.m. at the University of Illinois Fire Service Institute. Speaking, U of I McKinley Health Center Director Dr. Robert Parker, Champaign-Urbana Public Health District Administrator Julie Pryde, P-R-Y-D-E, and Janet Jokela, Acting Regional Dean of the U of I College of Medicine at Urbana. The next headline reads, well, actually, it's a picture. University of Illinois Jock Jams, uplifting moment. There's a picture of some men, all with white shirts and dark blue jeans and tan shoes, and one is singing with a microphone in the very front, and he's on his knees on the ground on a stage. This is a stage. And the other three are behind him kind of dancing around. Jerry G, that's J-I, of the University of Illinois men's golf team belts lyrics from a Beyoncé tune as teammates dance in the background at Monday's annual Jock Jams at Fullinger Auditorium. The festive fundraiser saw athletes from every team take the stage to raise money for injured football player Bobby Rountree. At NewsGazette.com, photo editor Robin Schultz's gallery from Monday's show, and at Instagram, we post daily the best from our photo staff. Also, best of the decade, our 40-page salute. Among the 2,500-plus do-gooders and difference-makers who will be included in Friday's first-of-its-kind special section in the News Gazette. 1. Tori Exum Johnson. She's on the short list for most awards in one decade. We'll feature 4, including 2012 40 Under 40 Women of the Year. 2. Piatt County's 2014 Citizen of the Year, Bill Haworth, that's H-A-W-O-R-T-H, added a Delta Save the Day Award for hustling to assist a passenger who suffered a stroke. 3. Tuscola High Sports. No area school finished the 2010s with more year-end NG All-Sports Athlete of the Year awards than the Warriors 4. 4. The Robesons. Kyle and Phyllis had a philanthropy award named in their honor in 2015, and they were named Distinguished Citizens by the Scouts in 2016. And number five, Danville High Wall of Famers. The All-Star 15 inductee cast included Julius Hegeler, Mike Small, Vicky Haugen, Scott Eisenhower, and Mark Denman. And now let's take a quick look at our forecast for the next week. This is provided to us by Greg Solier and his column on the weather front. Bitterly cold conditions will remain absent from the continental U.S. the next several days, although chilly air will engulf the northeast midweek. Storms will remain disorganized, except in the northwest, where a series of Pacific disturbances will result in heavy precipitation. 5-day precipitation totals could reach 4 to 8 inches or more in Washington, west of the Cascades. Farther east, 3 poorly developed storms will cross the south, resulting in light precipitation from the central and southern plains to the southern Atlantic coast. A few spots near the Gulf Coast could receive 5-day rainfall totals of an inch or more. Today, parts of the central and southern plains may experience snow. Greg Solier is a professional meteorologist, or has been a professional meteorologist since 1985, and he offers national agricultural weather forecasts at www.agbizweek.com. Today, 33 degrees. Cloudy, patchy fog, a few flurries, and freezing drizzle. Northwest winds, 6 to 12 miles per hour. Chance of precipitation, 30%. Overnight, cloudy, north to northeast wind, around 5 miles per hour. Wednesday, the high will be 36, the low will be 27. Mostly cloudy, northeast wind, 6 to 12 miles per hour. Overnight, cloudy, northeast wind, around 5 miles per hour. Thursday, the high will be 37, the low is 25. Considerable cloudiness. Northeast to east wind, 6 to 12 miles per hour. Friday, the high is 38, the low is 27. It's mostly cloudy. Saturday, the high will be 39, the low is 28, and it will be partly sunny. Now let's continue with another headline. Harriet's, that's H-E-R-R-I-O-T-T, apostrophe S. With sale, no changes planned. This article is written by Ben Zigderman and is based out of Champaign. The longtime tent rental business, Harriet's, is changing hands at the end of the month. The Harriet's are selling the business to Todd and Cheryl Lehman, that's L-E-H-M-A-N, and Sterling and Evan Lehman Brooks of Champaign, according to a note sent Sunday to customers. No changes are planned for the business in the short term. All staff members have been retained, and the same commitment to customer service will be their top priority, Brian and Deb, Harriet Stumpf, S-T-U-M-P-H, David Harriet, and Mark Harriet wrote. Merle Harriet started the business in 1951 as Harriet's City's service station at the corner of Market Street and Bradley Avenue. It added party rental items in the 70s and assembles some of the largest tailgating tents in front of Memorial Stadium. It is now in its third generation of Harriet ownership. Never in a million years did he think it'd turn out this way, Deb Stumpf told the News Gazette in November. His whole intent was just to support his family, not a bunch of families like we do now. The next headline reads, actually, it's top of the morning. Something to get you going today, courtesy of Jim Rosso. The last time Vashon Russell made the cover of our sports section, he was coaching Urbana High's boys basketball team. On Sunday, it was for his fabulous photo of Ayo Dosunmu's game winner against Michigan. And there's a picture of that, as I'll describe in a moment. When he isn't at his full-time job at the University of Illinois, Russell, 46, dabbles in photography. His first foray was featured in these pages during the 2015 Boneyard Arts Festival. When I lost my mom and dad 6 years ago, I picked up a camera just as therapy, he said. Photography has become my outlet as a way to deal with my losses. His clutch shot of Ayo's jumper was taken from Media Row in Chrysler Center, located high above the court. He spent the first half courtside. I was smart enough to take my camera with me, he said. So there's a picture of Vashon Russell on the left. There's two photos, one of him displaying some photography, I believe, on a canvas for the Bone Creek Arts Festival from 2015. And then on the right, there's a cover of a picture of Ayo Dosunmu as he makes the winning shot, and it's on the cover of the sports section for the News Gazette. History now. Area history. In 1920, Isaac Gordon of Mayview and his son had a close call when a Church Street streetcar struck their automobile at the Busey Avenue crossing. Gordon was unhurt, but flying glass struck the boy in the face, inflicting several bad gashes. The automobile was turned around by the impact, but did not turn over. The danger signal at Busey Avenue was out of order, and Gordon said he depended on, and as the alarm was not singing on this occasion, he thought the track was clear. In 1970, Green Street was to be widened to four lanes between Neal and State Streets, the Champaign City Council learned. As proposed, Green Street would become one-way westbound and John Street one-way eastbound. In 2005, a land dispute between the University of Illinois and a local man was still unresolved, renewing the possibility that the General Assembly would take action. State Representative Bill Black, a Republican from Danville, reintroduced a bill to force the U of I to sell the disputed property to Gene Vanderport for fair market value, but he said he hoped the parties could come to an agreement on their own. Vanderport bought 30 acres of land along the Vermilion River in 1972, right after he graduated from the U of I. He planned to retire there, near his family cemetery and his mother's birthplace. He had paid taxes, property taxes, on the land for nearly three decades, and his 91-year-old mother still lived in the home there. But in late 2001, the U of I told Vanderport it had actually bought 14 of those 30 acres back in 1959 as part of what it called the Vermilion River Observatory Research Site. The disputed land comprised the 14 acres closest to the river and did not include the house. In international history, today's highlight, on January 28, 1973, a ceasefire officially went into effect in the Vietnam War, a day after the signing of the Paris Peace Accords by the United States, North Vietnam, and South Vietnam. on this date in 1547. Edward's King Henry VIII died. He was succeeded by his 9-year-old son, Edward VI. In 1813, the novel Pride and Prejudice by Jane Austen was first published anonymously in London. The next headline reads, at uofi150.newsgazette.com. Among the 1,985 former students and faculty members featured on our Geese College of Business-powered U of I 150 and Beyond website, 2007 advertising grad Dowu Li, an associate director of global strategy at Mediacom of London. Know a U of I alum you'd like us to track down? We're taking requests at jdelesio@newsgazette.com. Take it from someone who knows his Kung Pao chicken. For cheap, tasty Chinese eats, CU is tough to top, at least in this hemisphere. Unbeknownst to many, Urbana-Champaign is blessed with really good Asian cuisine, Dowu Li writes from the UK, where he's an associate director of global strategy at Mediacom, and that's Dowu, D-O-W-O-O, Li, L-E-E. Whether it was during much procrastinated cramming sessions or just to catch up with my friends, I could count on tasty and economical meals from restaurants like Golden Walk, Siam Terrace, and Number One Walk. To this day, I still hold those fine establishments as the standard for Thai and American Chinese food. As far as Lee's go-to spot on campus, like so many others, put the 2007 Geese College of Business grad down for the Quad. The Quad is emblematic of the U of I experience and its geographical location, plain, flat, and open land with buildings surrounding its vicinity, not exactly special by itself, but made special and vitalized through the people that fill it, people from every corner of the world. The next headline reads, Champaign County Association of Realtors. Business in December offers a glimmer of hope. This article is written by Ben Zigderman and is based out of Champaign. More than 2,750 homes were sold in 2019, down 5.2% from the previous year, according to the Champaign County Association of Realtors. Despite that, the association's president was optimistic about December's sales numbers, which were up 19.9% year over year. Overall, we did have some months where the numbers were down. We ended up down about 5%, which in my opinion is still pretty steady, and we ended on a positive note in December, Julie Roth said. The median home sale price rose 3.82% from 2018 to $156,250 last year. In December, the median home sale price was $166,000, up 14.7% from the previous December. When those numbers are going up, buyers like to jump in and get them while they're still affordable, Roth said. She also credited the mild weather in December for the increase in sales. People were still out looking at homes, Roth said. The inventory of homes was down 6.6% in December compared to a year ago to 731 listings. The average 30-year fixed rate mortgage also declined in 2019 from 4.64% in December 2018 to 3.72% last month. With low mortgage rates, low unemployment, and continued wage growth, home buyer activity is expected to remain healthy into the new year, Roth said. The next headline reads, Marketplace Mall Incident. Videos part of probe into senseless act. This article is written by Mary Shank and Ben Zigderman and is based out of Champaign. After the second shooting in 3 years at Marketplace Mall, its owner defended the shopping center's security. While safety is our highest priority, we never publicly disclose details of our security program. However, we can tell you that we have a robust program in place that we constantly evaluate, said Rachel Wiley, that's W-I-L-L-E, spokeswoman for Brookfield Properties. Part of this includes a partnership with the Champaign Police Department. They are leading the investigation and we're quickly on site along with additional members of local law enforcement. Champaign police responded Saturday to the mall at 8:22 p.m. and found evidence of gunfire in the parking lot near the food court entrance. While several vehicles were hit, no one is believed to have been hurt, and guests and employees were kept inside the mall until police could collect statements and escort them out. And for the time being, Champaign police is providing additional patrol resources to the mall, police spokesman Tom Yellick said Monday. We are disheartened by the isolated incident that occurred in our parking lot on Saturday evening, Wiley said. We are grateful our shopping center community was not impacted by this senseless act. The last shooting at the mall happened on Memorial Day in 2017, when police said shots were fired just after 9 p.m. as the mall was closing, and an argument broke out in the vicinity of the Finish Line store. For this latest shooting, police are collecting evidence, including surveillance video from nearby businesses and talking to witnesses. And there's a small picture in the paper of the mall and a picture of the parking lot and the sign food court. So it's the food court section of the mall. Saturday's shooting took place in the parking lot outside the food court at Marketplace Mall in Champaign. The next headline reads, out of Gifford, police investigating burglaries at five businesses. As I said, this is based out of Gifford and is written by Dave Hinton for the Rantoul Press. Police are investigating burglaries to five businesses several days ago in Gifford. Police Chief Sean Wary, W-E-A-R-Y, said someone forced entry into the buildings Tuesday night or Wednesday morning and took about $250. Equipment and other items were not touched. Entered were the Homestead Tavern, a Crafty Farm Shop, Jesse Starkey Photography, Stutzman Ag, and the weighing office of the Premier Cooperative Grain Elevator. Weary said in some of the break-ins, a window latch was forced open. In another, a door was jimmied, and in another, the front door was forced open and damaged. Weary did not have a damage estimate and said police are still investigating. All the businesses are located within a three-block area on South Main Street. The next headline reads, Champaign break-in. Chicago woman gets probation for stealing club. This article is written by Mary Shank and is based out of Urbana. A Chicago woman who was found inside a Champaign man's kitchen with a rubber mallet in one hand and something else in the other has been sentenced to a year of probation for misdemeanor theft. In return for Kashana Armstrong's guilty plea Friday to stealing a golf club from the man's storage shed, Assistant State's Attorney Scott Larson dismissed other more serious charges of residential burglary and criminal trespass. The charges stemmed from Armstrong's arrest October 1st at a home in the 600 block of Breen Drive. The homeowner heard a noise in his kitchen and found the 23-year-old woman there. She left the house when she saw him, taking the golf club as she did. Police found her in the man's backyard. She told them she was trying to get away from her cousin, who was doing something shady, Boyd told Judge John Kennedy. As part of her probation, Judge Roger Weber ordered Armstrong to get a mental health evaluation. Today on WDWS 1400 AM, tune in for The Morning Show with State Senator Scott Bennett as he joins Dave Gentry at 7:40 AM. Penny for your thoughts, a News Gazette political contributor Brian Gaines visits Brian Barnhart at 9 a.m. And Sports Talk, which airs from 5 to 6 p.m., NBA blogger Travis Tate weighs in on Kobe Bryant's death. To chime in, you can call 217-356-9397, or you can always text 217-351-5357. On NewsGazette.com, inside Illini Basketball with Scott Ritchie, I was surprised Illinois was ranked 19. I thought they'd get a little more of a jump, but it's probably reasonable. Yes, they've won six in a row, and they won two on the road last week, but that six-game stretch is not the full story of Illinois basketball this year. For our entire menu, visit our website and click on Podcasts. I'm Susan Muirhead, and this has been the reading of Part 1 of the News Gazette dated for this date, Tuesday, January 28th, 2020. I'll be back shortly with part 2.